I'm J.G. Michael, and this is Parallax Views.
Parallax is...
I met him 15 years ago. I was told there was nothing left.
Bing, bing, bong, bong, bing, bing, bing.
No reason, no conscience, no understanding, and even the most rudimentary sense of life or death, of good or evil, right or wrong.
Bing, bing, bong, bong, bing, bing.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face. And
bing, bing, bong, bong, bing, bing, bing.
The blackest eyes.
Bing, bing, bong, bong, bing, bing.
The devil's eyes.
Bing, bing, bong, bong, bing, bing.
I spent 8 years trying to reach him.
Bing, bing, bong, bong, bing, bing.
And then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
Bing, bing, bong, bong, bing, bing.
What do we do?
He's been here once tonight. I think he'll come back.
You are fake news.
On this edition of Parallax Views, question: what could be more horrifying than a murderous force of nature stalking and slashing his way through innocent victims? On Halloween night, answer: a murderous force of nature in a Donald Trump mask, stalking and slashing his way through victims on election night. Or at least that's the premise of 2018's President Evil, a parody of John Carpenter's 1978 cult classic Halloween, with a political twist. Joining us on this edition of Parallax Views are Gregory P. Woke and Ruben Estremera, the writer and producer duo behind President Evil, which you can currently stream with an Amazon Prime subscription. And, of course, you can check out the trailer on YouTube. Now, regardless of your politics, I actually thought this was a fun little movie that lovingly spoofs John Carpenter's horror classic, Halloween. Although I should warn some of my listeners, especially those of you burnt out on Russiagate, that there is a fair bit of humor about Compromat. Nonetheless, I had a good time with it, and I enjoyed speaking to both Gregory and Ruben about their movie. With all that being said, why don't we jump right into the conversation with Gregory P. Woke and Ruben Estremera on their timely horror spoof, President Evil. Welcome to Parallax Views, Gregory P. Woke and Ruben Estremera of Giant Meteor Films and the filmmakers behind a very fun slasher parody just in time for the Halloween season. It was released last year but remains ever relevant, President Evil. How are you guys doing?
Great. Yeah, we're doing really well. Thank you.
So for my listeners, maybe you could both introduce yourself. I don't know if, Gregory, would you like to go first?
Sure. Gregory, I'm the co-writer on this particular film. I'm normally the writer on the films, and I've written several novels and other screenplays. This is the first time I've ever actually co-written, which is a different experience in itself. And Ruben and I have been making films together now for a number of years. We're partners in the film business, and we're also partners in life. We've been together 28 years, so we have a long time of getting to know each other, and working with the film has allowed us to get to know each other in a different way, and sometimes a challenging way. So that's who I am.
And I'm Ruben Estremera, and I'm the producer in the film. And that's something that I got involved with for Greg a little after his first couple of films, where I started to learn a bit more and got involved with helping Greg with his projects and producing.
So you guys are partners in film and in real life. Were you? Did you guys? I know Greg. You said in an email that you've been together a long time, but you only recently were able to get married.
Yes, whenever it became legal. What was that date now? It's like 5 years.
Yeah, whenever I think when Obama legalized it, might have been about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I think. But yeah. We had a partnership that was granted as of 2011 here in the city of Chicago, where they honor us being married going back to 2011. A domestic partnership when we signed up for that, and then eventually were able to get married.
I just mentioned that because I think in these dark times politically, I think it's great that at least we have that victory won on the gay marriage front.
Yeah, it's good that it happened. And Ruben mentioned that Obama did it, which isn't entirely correct. I mean, it was during his presidency, but the Supreme Court and somebody that Roberts, the Republican guy, put in there prior. He's the one that made the deciding vote. So that was like one good thing I can think of that a Republican did, yeah. Enabled it to happen. It would not happen today in this current Supreme Court. So thank God that it already got done. And
right. And it also started to happen in the second presidential winning of Barack Obama. So the VP at the time had a lot to do with it as well. And talking to Obama and making it happen. So I'm grateful for that. So he got on board, the last 4 years of his presidency.
Yeah. So here we are, one good thing, that we still are able to remain married, but life has definitely gotten harder under Trump. I don't mean just mentally, but there's been several instances of us when we traveled the country for the film that things have happened that never happened in prior years with groups of Republicans. He's really emboldened everybody who doesn't like us to come out and do things that are physically threatening. I mean, we've had death threats for making a movie that's a comedy, and the person in the film is not Donald Trump. He's just some dude that puts on a Donald Trump mask. So in the first Halloween movie, which is what was the John Carpenter's Halloween, I mean, they went to the store, and the person that was popular then was William Shatner, so they had a William Shatner mask. I mean, they painted a little bit, but people didn't start hating or thinking we were making fun of, that they were making fun of William Shatner after that, But so it is a totally different world.
Well, I mean, I remember back when Obama was president. I mean, we had Republicans, they were allowed to make fun of Obama all they wanted. I mean, I remember Rush Limbaugh and his little musical numbers that were extremely racist about President Obama. I don't understand. Even if it was President Trump is the killer, that gives them no right to physically threaten and harass people. I mean, I was looking through the Facebook page for President Evil, and I just saw comment after comment of people getting all mad, getting angry and saying, "Oh, you guys are the real evil," and all this. I'm just thinking to myself, lighten up.
Yeah, that's we don't look at those, obviously.
We don't engage in as well. We stay away from, let them fight it out, and it's crazy.
Yeah, they don't, you know, Republicans don't have a sense of humor. Even people I know who are Republicans, which aren't as many anymore, they even admit that, say, well, we don't have a sense of humor. Okay, well, that's okay to say that, but you don't, because you're filled with hate and you're trying to take away the joy from other people. I don't care if you want to live your life however you want to, but when it starts, you know, don't try to make me live your life. That's the problem that we're having nowadays. But this was a way of making this film was a way of kind of coping with this illegitimate president that we have now, and it was just a way to help, you know, comedians say use laughter to work through real important issues, and that's what this was. I mean, I can watch the film and actually laugh without thinking of Trump and hating him. It actually, in a way, I have to say, it's not people. I think people who watch it that are Trump supporters could still find something funny in it, because it's humorous. It's kind of making, it's not, it's just having a good time with it. I mean, stuff people already know. He's fat and he eats a lot of chicken bones and just little things like that. So, you know, no one can watch this and say that it's hateful. It's really just poking fun at the same things you'd see on SNL.
Or even some of the things that he has said publicly, that he had, and it's ongoing, and some of the stuff that we capture in the film to make it so relevant, you know, and poke at it too, and just to have people hear and think, hopefully, with open mind, and say, that's crazy, but it's so funny that someone is actually like that, that they say these things, you know. But we're trying to like make it humorous, but there is a sense of reality, I mean, behind this, because we see it every day, and we hear everything negative and all the awful things that this president says. So we capture a lot of that in the film, and not only did we poke fun at the Republicans, but we also poke fun at some of the Democrats too. So it's not like, you know, we're bipartisan, so it's not like we're just sticking to one group of people, which we know they at the time were running the country with the Senate and the House and all that. And now we have the House. At the time, you know, it was all Republicans. So I was watching all the crazy stuff happening and unfolding as we are today. I think it's very, very relevant. It's just a movie that, wow, this is really captures a lot of stuff that, yeah, it is funny, but it's true.
Well, you know, it's interesting. For my listeners that haven't had a chance to see the movie yet, I guess the summation of it is that it's sort of a parody of Halloween, of course, with a title that references Resident Evil, President Evil, and it has a killer running around in a Trump mask, you know, and he's xenophobic, he doesn't like immigrants, he doesn't like transgender people, and he goes after them, you know, like a slasher movie killer. And I think it's interesting, because I think that a lot of people after Donald Trump became president, I feel like a lot of people have been feeling like they've been living in a horror movie ever since. So that also makes this timely.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so it's what I could think that it covers that, you know, as you mentioned, xenophobia, homophobia, transgender phobia, Muslim phobia, people of color, you know, I mean, all that's in the film. And so it brings light to these same people that he's attacking all the time in his administration, and lives are being hurt, and people are in danger, you know. And so this is the reality that we've been living for the past 3 years.
Yeah, and it's everywhere, even in Hollywood. The people making this film, you can't believe, with all the films we made, you know, sometimes you cast somebody, and then as they read further into the role, maybe one out of 50 people will say, I have to pull out or whatever. Here, it's like one of every two, because they said, their agent said, don't make this movie or you won't get another one. You know, this is the fear that people have, and they really wanted to make it. And a couple people that said, no, this has to be made. It's so funny and so true. they still made the movie, but they insisted that their agent insisted that we intentionally misspell their names in the credits so other Trump haters would not be able to find them or look them up. That's pretty sad, isn't it?
Wow, that's shocking. I mean it's a sad state of affairs we're living in. One of the things I really liked about it is that the three main characters are Lana, who was sort of won my heart over. She's my favorite girl in this. Mm-hmm. And then you have a Haitian immigrant and a Mexican immigrant. Maybe you could talk about the three leads and how you sort of portray them, because they're badasses in a lot of ways.
Yeah, they're all great. I mean, I could see having a sequel just with those three. They're great. Very Melissa McCarthy-esque, and some of these. And we didn't try to make this like a Me Too movie at all. It just kind of, well, when you're attacked and Trump is attacking people like that, you know, they want to fight back. And so it's just how it happened. But, that famous comment that he made about, Muslims, Haitians, and Mexicans, well, those are the three groups he was attacking the most. So that's why we made them the three in charge, even though he attacks any woman that, even white women that disagree with him, you know, or like Heidi, you know, Plum or whatever her name is. She's not a 10 anymore. She's a 9. So it's not really limited to women of color, but that's his main target. I love all these women. Is there anything specific you want to say about individual roles of, Lana is the Muslim, and she had issues in real life. I think we're okay to say that.
And her, that's the actress, I don't want to mispronounce her name, but Sitara, if you could help me with that name.
I want to say Atjate, but yes, they had certain, she's had attacks because of it, but she stood by it, and she saw that coming at the outset, because she'd made other commercials as a
Muslim woman wearing a hijab.
Yeah, and she had trouble with it, but she goes, you can't live your life being afraid. But good for her for doing it. But, you know, at the end of the day, we don't want anyone to put their life in danger for us. We'll feel responsible if that happens. So that we want them all to feel comfortable. We made sure everything was filmed in a comfortable setting and that we had security when need be, didn't have too many issues. That Sitara, she's great. And she was the very last one cast because, as you probably know, and it was the lead. You would think everybody would want that. Well, obviously they did want it until they realized, hey, I'm going to be on, if I ever get tweeted from Trump, you know, I'm going to have crosshairs on me. So we finally got her the day before we started principal photography. We were like, oh my God, everybody's so afraid to play the role. And she did it, so good for her.
Well, Gregory, I wanted to ask you, what was sort of what gave you the sort of spark to write this screenplay, or how did the concept of, let's make a movie that reflects the anxiety of this Trump presidency, and maybe let's use Halloween, John Carpenter's Halloween, as sort of a format for that, and mix in some satirical elements. I mean, I think that's a really interesting concept.
Yeah, it's it's, there's not really a genre on Amazon or Prime Video or Netflix for satirical horror comedy parody, which is really what it is. It's self-evident that Trump's words were motivating people around the country to carry out what he was saying, his henchmen. So that was really what I saw from the, even before he was elected, this idea came, and I thought, well, he's never going to make it, of course, but he did. And then we started seeing it happening pretty, right off the bat, different attacks against other groups of people. And there's no doubt that life is imitating art now because it's happening by the hundreds. And, you know, there was just that guy in Oregon that some kid, he was like a 12-year-old boy, didn't stand for the Star-Spangled Banner. So this dude, Trump supporter, took him up against the wall and hit him, gave the kid a concussion. You know, and the guy's lawyers, the perpetrator's lawyers actually said, well, he didn't do anything wrong. He's carrying out the orders of the president. That's what we're supposed to do. So he actually came out and said exactly what our film is saying, which is really scary, you know. But also that, and just that we love Halloween movies, we love horror. And, you know, John Carpenter's Halloween is just wonderful. And, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis, I mean, that's what Lana, you know, we wanted her to be like Jamie Lee Curtis, just not a helpless woman, one that fights. And that's what we got.
I was going to say, you also have a few nods to, you know, movies like Psycho. There was one point, too, in the movie where I thought there was a nod to the movie Suspiria in the soundtrack at one point. There's a lot of different fun little horror movie in-jokes.
Yeah. There's also young Frankenstein there, a little bit of young Frankenstein in the classroom scene. So, yeah, there is those elements.
Yeah, we were going to do it exactly like Halloween, and it was just, there were a handful of instances where it was just, we couldn't help ourselves. You know, we the classroom scene in the original Halloween where she's in the class and she first sees the shape outside, you know, we thought, oh, why don't we have Gene Wilder up there with Madeline Kahn, right? Mm-hmm. The other girl? Yeah, it was Madeline Kahn up there. And so that was good. And we had, you know, if this does well, you know, we had sequels planned with other horror movies that could become, we're hoping that he's not going to be in there long enough for us to want to make another movie about him. That's the bottom line. But we thought of a Terminator theme, and we actually were talking a little bit with the Terminator's son to play the role for that. So we're going to see how long this this idiot's in power. But if he gets reelected, well, I mean, there's going to be a civil war for one thing, but we'll definitely make another movie.
Yeah, I like that that classroom scene in particular, because and I don't think this is much of a spoiler, but it gives a sense of the humor in the film. You have the teacher saying not to look up and stare directly at the eclipse that they're going to be watching outside. And outside, you see the shape of this, you know, Donald Trump mass killer. He's looking up at the eclipse, and he falls down on the ground.
Yeah,
which is true. I mean, he said we saw him on the video looking up at the sun. You remember that? That Trump.
Oh yeah, I do. I do.
Yeah. So it's not like this wrote itself. It's not like I actually had to write humor. I just wrote how he is without the hateful stuff, with just the stupid stuff.
Now, what was the experience of producing this like? I mean, were there any difficulties you guys had? No, not just, I know you said, you know, there were some people that didn't like the idea because, you know, a lot of people are fearful to speak out at this time and sort of poke fun at Trump. But it's also, I guess, more of a lower budget movie. What was the process like making it?
It was, I'd say once people relaxed and we got them in safe areas, they had a ball. I mean, they had the most fun of any movie we made, about equal to the one prior, which was a zombie film. I mean, who doesn't love playing a zombie or killing zombies? It was good. I mean, we went to a lot of the same locations to film this. You know, you saw the hedge scene that was filmed, the same hedge that in Pasadena where the original Halloween was, and the same house where Jamie Lee Curtis was sitting on the corner, you know, on the stoop waiting for her friends. That's the same house we used, and the house where the killing occurred, that's where Lana's father lived, the real one. So, yeah, we did a lot of the same areas that we could.
And a lot of people, well, the actors, when they got into their roles, they were just having a ball. So that initial fear didn't last very long. People were just loving it then. And they were just having a good time, like Rick said. And so it was nice to see that now that came up once the film started, you know, once the actors were in their roles and all that, and everyone just went with it. So everyone had a really big time. So we liked the fact that from the beginning, yeah, we had to kind of like, you know, find out or who's going to be comfortable and all that. But once all that got ironed out, which didn't last very long, we had people and they were ready to just have fun with it. And they carried it on all the way to the end.
It sounds like it was cathartic for you and your cast. I mean, at the very least, I can tell that you guys are very earnest and socially conscious. And that comes across in the film with the cast and the crew. I think it's also going to be a cathartic movie for people who are, you know, just confused, angry, and, you know, even depressed about the current administration.
You're right. That's a great word for it. Yeah. It is cathartic. And I like to watch, if I ever get particularly depressed about something, it's not so much the stuff he's doing, it's that everyone else is letting him get away with it. That is the really depressing part and the part that disappoints me, especially with people I know or love. So sometimes I just pull up the movie and watch scenes of it or the trailer and so forth, and it makes me feel a little better. I don't know why, but it just does. Yeah, so I don't know. We had a great time filming it, and I kind of wish it would go on even longer. It was helpful, but we made a film like 2 years ago while he was running for office. It's called A Lesson in Cruelty, and that's about Trump also. That was about a younger version of Trump that I thought, my God, this guy is hated. And I actually made a film. It's more of a drama, a dark comedy, though. With a different end. It's not a parody of a horror film. But I was already thinking about this guy when he first hit the scene trying to run for president, that this is really... it's just incredible that someone like this can even run for office. So it's been on my mind for a long time, and I the thing is, I don't want to let myself go crazy because they want that. You know, they want a lot of us to disengage and to just wander off to move to Canada, whatever else, so they can just have their own United States of Red America. But it's not going to happen. You know, so we're trying to use art, you know, some of our savings to kind of fight back and help other people get through this. At the end of the day, this is entertainment, and I think this is a very entertaining movie, no matter how deep we are getting with the conversation here.
Yeah, and I think whatever party someone represents, they're going to get something out of it, because it would be undeniable if whoever sees it thinks that, they feel like they're attacking their president, you know, and have all this animosity. But at the same time, I think if they come going with an open mind, they're going to see that this person that they voted for, many people I'm voting for are regretting the fact that they voted for him. Now they can see the true Donald Trump.
You know, it's interesting to me because the slasher killer that wears the Trump mask in it, he's not necessarily frightening in the way a lot of slasher killers are. He's extremely incompetent. He's sort of a fool in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you got that, huh? Yeah, that was intentional. So he was definitely not as smart as Michael Myers, that's for sure.
Yeah, so the actor we use, Ryan, he's... what's Ryan's last name?
Brian Adams, and somewhere by Sacramento, Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, excellent actor, and he's a funny guy. So he was able to like really fit that role, and just run with it and doing all these little funny things. So we just wanted him to have just show us your humor, and he did it, and he was loving it. So
yeah, and then like the love scenes between him and Putin, you know, that they had a good time with that. There was a lot more of them we couldn't show in the movie, but you know, looking back at the love story of, you know, Putin and Trump.
I like how you took the Dr. Loomis character from Halloween and turned him into Dr. Luton.
Yes, I mean, it sounds like you caught everything. Yeah, I mean, it's not. That's good.
No, we actually got a role in the movie too. You know, so.
Yeah, I forget which one we played. We played a couple of the dead guys.
I played Dr. McCabe, and I
played Dr. Comey. Yeah, we were both dead. We were lying on the floor, on the grass, killed by him.
and I also, a lot of people don't, you know, weren't able to see it at first, but when they were surprised to find out that I actually played a Stormy in the beginning.
Stormy Daniels?
Stormy Daniels. I play her. It's very quick, but there's a part there that people never knew that was me dressed as Stormy Daniels for that quick scene.
So we changed it over when it was starting to get violent towards the end, the real Stormy, the Joanna Rae character. We shifted into Ruben in a lot of makeup with fake breasts. You know, doing the fight scene with, you know, who, so,
yeah.
I like how her name in it is Scorchy McDaniels.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, we didn't want to be sued at all. But so our attorneys were saying, oh, you can't have their same names. Are you kidding? Don't you watch SNL? When you're making parody, you can use everything.
Yeah, I was actually wondering about that, because I know you make a few references to, like, say Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity, but you use the name Tucker Hannity instead of Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson. Was that to avoid?
Yeah, they attorneys told us to do this, but I think they were just being too careful. I know what the law is. You don't have to do that, but they said it doesn't matter. It just, they can make it a nuisance. They can still sue you. Anybody can sue anybody, and then they have more money. They're dragging out. I was like, let them. That's the best publicity we could have. But in the end, they won out, and they said, why don't you just switch the names around a little bit? So we did that.
You know, I love the, before we start to wrap up, I really love the opening. Because you start out with the classic John Carpenter-style theme music, and then you have, instead of the pumpkin that we usually see in the intro to a Halloween film, it's just Donald Trump's mug. You hear some, you know, Donald Trump impersonation voiceovers, and of course, you basically recreate the first scene from Halloween where Michael's a little boy, in this case, David. And, of course, it ends with Storchy McDaniels meeting her end. And one touch I really liked in that was, and I don't know how intentional this was, if I'm reading too much into it, but instead of getting the Trump mask, since it's taking place in the 80s, this opening scene, you have the killer wearing the Ronald Reagan mask. And I was like, you know, maybe this doesn't start with Trump. Maybe some of these problems have been with us for a lot longer.
Yeah, I kind of did the timeline. I went back and, you know, this exact date was the date of when he was elected. I think we put on there, whatever, the date he was won the election. And the recording you hear in the background is, I forget which famous, Dan Rather or somebody talking. I don't know if you can hear it that well in the background. He had just been elected, so, you know, and the paraphernalia you see on the table there is the banners and things that Ronald Reagan used back then. You know, we kind of went crazy with recreating everything back to the time. You know, it's not a Merchant Ivory film, but I still like to have props be realistic and true. It's kind of a thing of mine. So, yeah, I thought that was fun. You know, you mentioned the start of the movie with the Trump mask. Could you tell that right away, or did it take like 30 seconds before you knew it was Trump mask?
No, I could tell it right off the bat. You mean the Trump, instead of the pumpkin, the Trump mask.
You knew it was, okay. I was wondering how slowly we had that for him, yeah.
And with the hair, too.
Right, the hair.
I was also wondering when you guys were making this, was this before or after? You know, when I saw how badass the three female leads were, I was thinking, you know, they remind me a lot of the squad. You know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, and Ilhan Omar. But I think you guys made it before what people are calling the squad even got into Congress.
Yeah, right, because they were elected in 2018, last year. So we didn't even know of them yet, you know, when we put that together.
It's true. Yeah, the movie was just getting finished at that time.
Yeah.
Well, I guess closing out here, what do you want viewers to take away from the movie? And maybe do you think there's any positives that will be coming out of the 2020 election?
I want them to, you know, enjoy the movie from, you know, a cathartic standpoint and to have fun. Just anybody who's a big fan, first off, of the original Halloween movie, I think we'll like that in its own right, just finding all the comparisons. And I think it's just fun to see all the references of Trump, what he said, and listening to all the Trump, you know, the Trump voiceovers are hilarious. Well, I wrote them, but our impersonator did such a good job with them. I think just, you know, to laugh and have a moment of having a good time, but then realize the message of the film, that we have to get out there and vote, that, you know, we get, you know, like they say, we get who we deserve, because we elect, or the people, I think only 54% of the people voting public voted this last time. Can you believe, you know, 48% of the people just sat at home or had hangovers or something? So I just hope that doesn't happen. I just hope whoever the right candidate is, I hope everyone votes, and so we have a true democratically elected president, whoever that might be.
Yeah, I think I hope that this does encourage people to pay attention and to see that, yeah, this is fun, and we're escaping from the reality of what this is really portraying. But to pay attention and to see that, as Greg mentioned, that it's very important to exercise our right to vote, and it's very important to allow other people to also, or to talk about it, to exercise their rights. And so that's the message that we're trying to get across to everyone in this country, to see things for what they are and to make a change for the better. And hopefully this movie can help people decide how to see things better in the future so that we don't get stuck with a clown again.
Well, you know, I would just add to that. I think you could even do a President Evil 2, even if the Democrats won, because the fact is these emboldened supporters of Trump that, you know, are of this mentality of, you know, make America great again, by which I think they mean make America white again, they're not going to go away even if a Democrat's in office. And I think we're going to have to, you know, keep our guard up against these type of voters, even when a Democrat's in office. So maybe we could see a President Evil 2, even when a Democrat's in office, and, still sort of poke fun at the xenophobia of a lot of conservatives.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. I think I totally agree, because there's so many enablers, you know, on the Republican side. So basically what we've been seeing the past few years is the consciousness of racism be awakened and all sorts of phobias from the right. So that would be interesting, yeah, to even do a sequel. And because there's going to still be a lot of stuff that we have to fix here after the election is over, and hopefully there's a Democratic president in the House. But there's going to be a lot of, it's going to be a long time before we can build those relationships back up again around the world, and to help people feel like they're American again, and feel more secured in our country. So I can definitely see what you're talking about as far as going to a second sequel, because it's not going to be over even after the elections. There's still going to be a lot of stuff going on.
Well, I think we're even going to see, you know, there's real monsters out there.
Yeah.
Like the one I think of was the MAGA bomber, Caesar Sayoc, who, you know, was milling pipe bombs to leading Democratic politicians like Barack Obama. I think he sent one to Biden and Hillary Clinton. I mean, these people are still going to be out there even after, you know, Trump gets out of office. So we could use a President Evil too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I like that. We'll see how it goes. And maybe we'll be back on your show again to discuss that part.
Well, I guess in closing, do you think, as dark as these times are for a lot of people, I think we have made a lot of great strides in terms of LGBTQ rights, race, gender. I think there's a big push for change, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people that don't feel like, you know, like the right does. There are a lot of people that are accepting, but there's also a lot of people that are behind the scenes that are trying to reverse everything, that are working alongside this administration and part of the administration. So we're in jeopardy of losing everything that's in the courts right now as far as LGBT rights, if they can be working in an environment, can they be fired? Can they be, there's places that we still are fired, and there's places where we're not allowed to be who we are, and we're in danger all the time. Transgenders have been, this year 19 have been murdered here in the States. And so a lot of people don't pay attention to that, because it's not happening to them, or it's not happening to their subculture. Or culture, but we see it, and it's happening to our culture, the LGBTQ people of color, where we are being beat up, our rights are being taken away. Even if there's some rights there to say we are deserving of these rights because we fought for this, there are people that are still in the way of blocking that, and are doing everything in their power to make sure that we can be erased. So. Because it was passed under the Obama or the Supreme Courts and all that, it doesn't mean that we are treated fairly still. It means there's still a lot of hate that we have to get through. And with this presidency, they made it more difficult because, again, they're behind the scenes and reversing everything.
Well, and I was going to add, I think, though, it's telling how much they've amped up the absolute, you know, it's just hate. It's xenophobia. It's bigotry. The hate against, the hate against the LGBTQ, people of color, they've amped it up. And I think that's important to note, because I think it means they're threatened. They're afraid.
Yeah.
They're losing power because they know the numbers aren't on their side for much longer. And maybe that's the grass is always greener on the other side sort of way of looking at politics right now.
Yeah, and I can certainly relate, because I'm a person of color, and gay. I'm Puerto Rican, there's been a lot of negativity, but you know, we overcome a lot of that stuff, and we maneuver around a lot of that stuff that we've been seeing. You know, after the hurricanes on my island of Puerto Rico. So, you know, and all the hatred that was coming out, and all the white supremacists, and all the discrimination against my people, you know, and then also a lot of, you know, just people in color in general, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, black people, I mean, transgenders, gays. I mean, it's just so out of control. So these are times where we have to band together, everyone, poor people, people of color, LGBTQ, allies, everybody, to say enough is enough.
Well, you know, I think that's a great message to end on. I want to give you guys a chance to promote Giant Meteor Films, which I recommend people checking out. And also maybe tell my listeners, if they're interested in watching President Evil, how they can view it.
President Evil is now on Prime Video. It's free for anyone who has Prime membership. And it's on a number of other platforms, not Netflix, a number of other platforms, though, especially everyone in China. they want to watch everything. That's like the biggest market nowadays. I mean, the average Chinese person spends 3 hours on a train to and from work every day, and they're constantly watching movies on the train. So that's a huge market right there. I can't believe they're watching a movie like this, but they are. they're probably thinking, oh, their president is so awful compared to our president, who's wonderful. So they can watch President Evil on Prime Video. They can watch our other films on Amazon and Apple. And I don't know half of what these streaming services are called anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there's like 15 different platforms around the world that they can watch it, but here in the States, people can definitely go into Prime Video, Amazon, and they can watch it for free.
Yeah, and Giant Meteor Films, we have 4 films now, feature-length films that we made, and that's just in the last 2 years that we made these 4 feature films. So we have about at least 15 scripts in the pipeline that we are just trying to find time to make. You know, they're a variety of, mostly horror, sci-fi, and that genre, but, you know, we're trying to find the best place to do it, the best people to use, and to build on what we have already, but, we love comedy, we love horror, we love sci-fi, you know, every once in a while we love just a pure family film too, like a Lifetime movie, anything that's moves you emotionally, whether that be comedic or fear or makes you think or just something. I mean, the worst thing you can say after you leave a movie or any piece of art is that you felt nothing. I mean, you want to feel something, whether it's anger, fear, happy. So that's what the driving force for us, to just make content that just makes people feel something, just to get away from their everyday life.
Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on Parallax Views, Gregory and Ruben. I really want to recommend people check out President Evil, and I also like what you said early in the conversation. You know, it is a movie that I think it comes from, you know, a viewpoint that, you know, is not too fond of President Trump, but I noticed a few digs in there that you guys get at you know, people like President Bill Clinton and the sex scandals and whatnot. So it is equal opportunity at times, and I think people enjoy it regardless of their politics.
Yeah, and if a Democrat wins and they turn out to be awful, then the President Evil 2 will be about that person.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not Democrats. We're just people that have minds, you know.
Yeah. I mean, put party aside, it's, you know, when we see something that's not right, you know, they always say, if you see something, say something, right? Yeah. You know, so, and that's what anything, so that's the way it should be. Really, not to say, well, that person is Democrat, no, I'm a Democrat, so I have to support them, I don't care regardless. No, it should never be that way. If that person is doing harm to our country, to the world, doesn't matter what, if they're Democrat or they're Republican, they need to be out.
Well, thank you again, Ruben and Gregory, for coming on Parallax Views.
Thank you very much for having us.
Well, that does it for this edition of Parallax Views. I hope we're getting you in the Halloween spirit with our latest episodes, and I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Gregory P. Wolk and Ruben Estremera about their movie President Evil, which, as I said in the intro, you can check out now on Amazon Prime. If you have an Amazon Prime subscription, you can stream the movie free of any extra charge. What did you think about this edition of Parallax Views? Feel free to drop me a line on Twitter at ViewsParallax or email me at parallaxviewspod@protonmail.com. I always appreciate your
your feedback. Additionally, if you appreciate my work, please consider supporting me on Patreon, where you can hear the Parallax Views current events program, The Week That Was. And with that being said, until next time, you've been listening to Parallax Views with Parallax Views. To Parallax Views with Parallax Views.
The way out is not simply to say don't do it, just to prohibit. It's nothing else. If we don't do it, others will be doing it like crazy. So, you know, we have to confront the problem. But no, basically, I know of the great anxiety problems, new forms of control, but it's also new forms of freedom. This is why I always emphasize that internet and all this new digital stuff, it's a very ambiguous phenomenon, but it's the field of struggle. New forms of enslavement, but at the same time, new incredible forms of freedom. We have to accept the fight with no nostalgia for old, allegedly more authentic communities or whatever. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.